Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Erevin Daf Yud Dalet. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis stated that a korah must be wide enough to hold an ariach, a half brick. An ariach is 1.5 tefachim, which means that it's sufficient for the korah to be 1 tefach in width. In a brice on this daf, it was taught, if one placed 2 twin korahs over an entrance, and each one alone was not wide enough to hold the ariach, but together they could, since combined they're a tefach wide, no other korah is necessary. If their combined width was not a tefach, they are invalid and another korah must be used. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that if the two korahs can be positioned to hold an ariach lengthwise, so that the distance between their outer edges measures 3 tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah, even though their combined width does not equal a tefach. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis also stated that if the korah was round and therefore incapable of holding a riach, we view it as if it was square, meaning as if it was planed down to a flat surface. The way to know if the circular korah is a tefach wide is by following the rule that kol she'be'ekefo shlosh tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. Whatever round object has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a width of a tefach. The Gemara teaches that the source of this principle is learned from the Yom Shel Shlomo, which Shlomo Melch made in the base of Migdash for the Kohanim to use for Tevila. It was 10 amos in diameter and 30 amos in circumference. Rabbi Chiya taught that it could hold enough water for 150 mikvos. And point number three, a braisa taught, Aso lechi lechetzi mavui, ein lo el lechetzi mavui. If one made a lechi for half a mavui, so that the lechi stands in the middle of the sidewall instead of the front, he can only carry the mavui half that was adjusted. After questioning why the braisa need to teach this seemingly obviously point, the Gemara answered that one might have thought that it should be prohibited to carry even in the adjusted half, out of concern that someone will think that it's permitted to carry in the entire mavui. So once again, the three points are number one, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis stated that a korah must be wide enough to hold an ariach, a half brick, and ariach is 1.5 tefachim, which means that it's sufficient for the korah to be 1 tefach in width. In a braisa on this stuff it was taught, if one placed 2 twin korahs over an entrance, and each one alone was not wide enough to hold the ariach, but together they could, since combined they're a tefach wide, no other korah is necessary. If their combined width was not a tefach, they're invalid and another korah must be used. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that if the two korahs can be positioned to hold an ariach lengthwise, so that the distance between their outer edges measures 3 tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah, even though their combined width does not equal a tefach. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis also stated that if the korah was round and therefore incapable of holding an ariach, we view it as if it was square, meaning as if it was planed down to a flat surface. The way to know that if the circular korah is a tefach wide is by following the rule, kol she'yesh bo hekefo shlosh tefachim, yesh bo rochav tefach. Whatever round object has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a width of a tefach. The Gemara teaches that the source for this principle is learned from the Yom Shel Shlomo, which Shlomo Melch made in the base of Migdash for the Kohanim to use for Tevila. It was 10 amos in diameter and 30 amos in circumference. Rabbi Chiya taught that it could hold enough water for 150 mikvos. And point number three, a braisa taught, As lechi lechetzi mavui, ein lo el lechetzi mavui. If one made a lechi for half a mavui, so the lechi stands in the middle of the sidewall instead of the front, he can only carry in the mavui half that was adjusted. After questioning why the braisa need to teach this seemingly obvious point, the Gemara answers that one might have thought that it should be prohibited to carry even in the adjusted half, out of concern that someone will think that's permitted to carry in the entire mavui. All right, so now we go to our siman for Yadalin and the siman for Yadalin's hands, and we're going to use a juggler in the siman to indicate someone who has very skillful hands, just easier to use for the siman. So here goes. The juggler was doing great juggling torches over 2 twin korahs until he missed, and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water in the middle of the mavui next to the lechi. Once again, in slow motion. The juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Dalet, because that's hands. The juggler was doing great juggling torches over 2 twin korahs, which reminds that a korah needs to be wide enough to hold an ariach, and of the machlokas whether 2 twin korahs that are less than a tefach in width combined are valid as a korah. The Tanakhama says they are not valid, and Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that they are if the distance between the two outer edges measures 3 tefachim. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over 2 twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water, which reminds that we view a round korah as if it's planed down to see if it's kosher, and of the rule that anything that is 3 tefachim in circumference is a tefach wide, which was learned from the Yom Shel Shlomo. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin cars until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water in the middle of the mavui next to the lechi, which reminds that one can carry in half a mavui if a lechi was placed at the halfway point and that we're not concerned that someone will carry in the whole mavui. So once again, the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin koras until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water in the middle of the mavui next to the lechi. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back chazara. Daf Yud. So the Simfer Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The Malchokas and the minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden. That must mean we're on Daf Yud. The Malchokas and the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance that was wider than 13 and a third amos, which reminds us, Abai brings a brisa that taught that if a Mavui entranceway is wider than 10 amos, he must decrease the width. And Rav Yehuda says that he doesn't need to decrease its width. The Gemara inquires, how wide does Rav Yehuda permit a Mavui entrance to be? So Rav Acha proposed in the presence of Rav Yosef that Rav Yehuda allows a Mavui entrance to be 13 and a third amos wide from a Kal Vachomer based on Rav Yehuda's view regarding Pasi Biros, boards enclosing wells. If in the case of Pasi Biros, in which it's allowed to have Parutz Maruba or Omed, the gaps larger than the walled portions, yet it's not allowed to have a gap more than 13 and a third amos, then in the case of the Mavui, in which it's not permitted to have Parutz Maruba or Omed, all the more so it should not be permitted to have a gap more than 13 and a third amos. So the Gemara challenges this reasoning, saying that perhaps it was specifically in the case of Pasi Biros, where we are lenient with Parutz Maruba or Omed, that we don't allow another leniency of wide gaps. But in the case of the Mavui, Rabbi Yehuda would permit even wider gaps. A second challenge is brought, and the question of how wide Rabbi Yehuda permits the gap to be is left unresolved. So the Malchokas and the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance that was wider than 13 and 13 amos led to their dividing the Mavui into two, which reminds us, the Gemara asks how to narrow a Mavui entrance that's too wide. Levi initially brings a brisa, but rejects it. He then says to construct a board that is 10 tefachim high and 4 amos long and stand it along the length of the Mavui so that it extends from the midpoint of the entrance towards the back of the Mavui. This divides the front of the Mavui into two distinct Mavuis, each which has an entrance of no more than 10 amos. So the Malchokas and the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance that was wider than 13 and a third amos led to the dividing their Mavui into two and insisting each group use their own large entranceway. Which reminds Rav Yehuda says that if the Mavui entranceway is 15 amos wide, marchik shtei amos v'osep pas shalosh amos, one leaves a space of 2 amos near the sidewall and constructs a board that is 3 amos wide. This effectively closes off the entranceway, leaving an opening of 10. Similarly, says Rashi, one could apply the same method to both sides of a 20 amos wide Mavui. They were asked why there's no concern that people might enter through the small entranceway that is formed in the 2 amos gap, which would invalidate the lechi or kora used in the main entrance. The Gemara answers, Chazakei in adam maniach pesach gadol v'nichnas b'pesach katan. It can be assumed that a person will not abandon a large entranceway and enter instead through a small entranceway. Therefore, the main entranceway retains its status as the Mavui entrance. Daf Yadal. So the symbol for Daf Yadal is stars related to the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. Gold stars, stars, that must mean we're on Daf Yadal. Gold stars were awarded to the children who lived in the chatzar with lots of entranceways and windows. Which reminds us, Rav amended our mission to read that a Mavui entrance that is wider than 10 amos and has a tzuritz of Pesach must be decreased. Rav Yosef deduced from this that Rav would hold chatzar sheruba psachim v'chalonos en aniteres b'tzuritz of Pesach. In a chatzar enclosed by walls consisting mostly of entranceways and windows, carrying is not permitted by means of a tzuritz of Pesach that frames each of the openings since parts maruba or omet. The total gaps are more than the total walls. The Gemara rejects this because an opening of 10 amos is considered a greater breach than openings that collectively exceed the wall segments from the fact that in the case of Pasi Biros, boards enclosing wells, we permit them with parts maruba or omet, but we do not permit them when the space between the boards exceeds 10 amos according to Rabbi Meir. Therefore, according to Rav, Atzuras HaPesach may help with a chutz with many openings, even though it doesn't help with a Mavui entrance wider than 10 amos. So gold stars were awarded to the children who lived in the chatzar with lots of entranceways and windows for their model of a tzuritz of Pesach with a straw door, which reminds us the Gemara cites several rules regarding tzuritz of Pesach. Rav Chisid said, tzuritz of Pesach sha'asim min atzad lo'asim lo'kum. A tzuritz of Pesach that was made extending from the middle of the poles accomplishes nothing. He also said that a tzuritz of Pesach must be strong enough to support a door, even if the door is only made from straw. Reish Lakish said in the Merv Yanai, Tzuritz HaPesach Sricha Heker Tzir, Atzuras HaPesach requires an indication of a hinge, which Rav Avya defines as a pivot hole. An actual door, though, is not required. A Braisa taught that Atzuras HaPesach consists of Kana Mikan V'Kana Mikan V'Kana Al Gabehen, a pole on either side of the opening and a pole on top. It's a machlokas amarayim whether the crossbar needs to touch the side post. Rav Nachman says it doesn't. Rav Shesha says that it does. So gold stars were awarded to the children who lived in a chatzir with lots of entranceways and windows for their model of a tzuras hapesach with the straw door, which they proudly displayed in the mabui sasum that had a lechi and a korah. Which reminds, in the next mission, the perek introduces a machlokas regarding a mabui sasum. Beis Shammai holds that it requires a lechi and a korah. Beis Hillel holds that it requires either a lechi or a korah. And Rabbi Glazer holds that it requires two lechis. The Gemara suggests that Beis Shammai holds that four mechitzas are required midaraisa to enclose a rishas yachid, but concludes that Beis Shammai may only require three mechitzas to be chayiv for transferring to rishas rabbim, but the Rabbanan, a fourth mechitza, was required to permit carrying within the rishas, which can only be fulfilled through both a lechi and a korah. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simfer Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers busy banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzer, which reminds us, an entrance of a chatzer that opens into an area that items from the chatzer cannot be carried into, such as another chatzer that didn't make an Arab chatzeres with, or a rishus rabim, and needs some type of adjustment in order to permit carrying within the chatzer. There's machlokas and a brisa regarding what is required. The Tanna Kamma holds, chatzer niteres bepas echad, a chatzer is permitted by placing one board at the side of the entrance to serve as a side post. Rebbe holds b'shnei pasim by placing two boards. There's machlokas regarding the width of each board. Rebbe Yossi holds that each board has to be at least three tefachim wide. Rebbe Yochanan, explained by Rebbe Zerid, holds that one is the option of using one post that is four tefachim wide or two posts of any size on each side. So the 12 brothers banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzer didn't notice water from the ocean flowing through a breach in their wall, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa, l'shen yam ha'niknas l'chatzer. If part of the sea flowed through an opening of a chatzer wall, if the breach is more than 10 amos, one may not take from the water in the chatzer because it's considered part of the ocean and it would be taken from a karmelis to a rishus yachid. If the breach was 10 amos or less, he can take from the water in the chatzer because the opening in the wall is considered a pesach and not a breach, and therefore the water within the chatzer is considered to be within a rishus yachid. The Gemara infers that even if the breach is larger than 10 amos, if the breach part of the wall is not breached under the water and is 10 tefachim high, the chatz retains its status of rishus yachid and they may carry within it, although drawing water from it would still be forbidden. So the 12 brothers banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzer didn't notice water from the ocean flowing through a breach in the wall and flooding a mavui mefulash with a lechi serving as a mechitza. Which reminds, Rabbi Yehuda said that a mavui which is not fit for shituf, meaning a mavui mefulash, which one adjusted with a lechi, the one who throws an object into it is chai for transferring from rishus rabim into rishus yachid. If one adjusted with a korah, however, the one who throws an object into it is putter. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lechi serves as a mechitza, and the korah serves as a heker. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds three mechitzas are deraisa, therefore, placement of a lechi, which he holds as a mechitza, makes it a rishus yachid. Rabbi held the same position. Rava said, Echodzev, Echodzev, Mishum Heker. Both of these, the Lechi and the Korah, serve as a Heker. Therefore, one who threw into the Mavui would not be Chayiv. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simfer Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy who was laning the Parsha of Sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased, which reminds us there's a Machlokas and a Braisa regarding putting Kankatom into ink, which makes it impossible to completely erase the ink, in order to write the Parsha of Sota in a Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Meir used to say that one may put Kan Katom into ink for writing a Sefer Torah except for the Parsha of Sota. Rabbi Yaakov said in Rabbi Meir's name that it may be used to write the Parsha of the Sota as well, but not for writing the Parsha of Sota that was used in the base of Migdash for the Sota waters. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the practical difference between them is whether it's valid to erase the Psukim from a regular Sefer Torah in the bitter waters of the Sota. In order for the Psukim to be valid to be used for the bitter waters that a Sota must drink, it must be words that are able to be erased. Therefore, a coined Rabbi Yehuda holds that psukim from regular Sefer Torah are valid to be used to be put inside the Sota waters. One cannot put Kankatom into the ink. According to Rabbi Yaakov, however, they are not valid, and therefore the psukim of a regular Sefer Torah may be written with ink that has Kankatom in it. Only the parts of the Sota that was used within the base of Migdash may be used. Therefore, it's only these psukim that may not be written with Kankatom. So the Bar Mitzvah boy was laying the Parsha of Sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased, was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zochah to have great teachers. Which reminds us, Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara explains that he was originally a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he wasn't able to discern his final psak, given Rabbi Akiva's ability to defend both sides of a position. He went to learn by Rabbi Shmuel, but Gamar Gemara, to learn the various traditions, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva, Vesavra Savora. He studied them with great analysis. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina said that there was none in the generation like Rabbi Meir, but they didn't fix the halach leichem because his chaverim could not fathom the depths of his reasoning, for he could assert effectively that something tamei was tahor, and vice versa. Rebbe said that the reason that he was sharper than his chaverim is that he saw Rabbi Meir from behind, and if he had seen the front of him, he would be even sharper. So the bar mitzvah boy who was laying the parsha sota beautifully, until he noticed some letters were erased, was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zochah to have great teachers, and always exemplify the midos of Beis Hillel. Which reminds the Gemara asks why Beis Hillel merit to have the halacha fixed according to their view, and answers, because they were agreeable and forbearing, showing restraint when they were challenged, and they would study their opinion and the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Rashi explains they would make great effort to show how the psukim that Beis Shammai brought as proofs could be understood differently. And not only that, but they would even quote the words of Beis Shammai before their own. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions of Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that there's a chazaka that people won't abandon a large entranceway for a smaller one? That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn whether one would be chayiv if they threw an object into a mavi mafulash that had a korah? That's on Duff. Yud Beis. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we have a machok is about putting kankatom into the ink for the parsha of sota? That's on Duff. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you learn if water from the ocean flowed through a breach in the wall that was wider than 10 amos, one can't draw from it since it has the din of a karmos? That's on Duff. Yud Beis. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn Levi's method of narrowing a wide mavui by placing a board 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide down the middle of the mavui from the front? That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn one can carry in the half of a mavui that was adjusted with a lechi? That's on Duff. Yadalad. Good. Number 7. Which of they learned that a mavui entrance that is wider than 10 amos is considered a greater breach than parts maruba la'omed, such as in the case of a chutz with many windows and entrances? That's on Duff. Yadalad. Good. Number 8. Which stuff is it that we learn where we can derive how wide Rabbi Yehuda permits a mavui entrance to be from the Kal Vachomer from Pasi Beiros? That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you have a machlok is about twin koros with a combined width less than a tefach? That's on Duff. Yadalad. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you learn the Rav Chisda said that a tzuris of Pesach has to be strong enough to be able to hold the door even if it's a straw door? That's on Duff. Yadalad. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn the source for the brachos of birchas of Muslim? That's on Duff. Memches and brachos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that if someone gives someone a gift, they should inform him that the gift was given? That's on Duff. Yud and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we have a question whether an excessive burden for an animal is considered a masui? That's on Duff. Ninalf and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.